Let us pray. When evil darkens our world, give us light. When despair numbs our souls, give us hope. When we stumble and fall, lift us up. When doubts assail us, give us faith. When nothing seems sure, give us trust. When ideals fade, give us vision. When we lose our way, be our guide, that we may find serenity in your presence and purpose in doing your will. In Christ Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I want to begin by greeting you all in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I want to thank Pastor Kathleen for a wonderful introduction this morning about the Holy Spirit. I felt like, should I preach or should I say, read and say amen? Because she covered wonderful things in that introduction. But I will continue from where she left. Today is a celebration of Pentecost, and we celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of justice, our just relationships with one another, the Spirit of righteousness, our right standing before God. When you're listening me reading this text, I think a lot of questions begin to ring in your minds as I read. But something that I want to raise as I begin is that it sounds very strange when you think about it, that the disciples spend the evening of the Easter day behind locked doors. Peter and another disciple had seen the empty tomb. They had seen the linen clothes that had been wrapped around Jesus' head and body lying there with no corpse to be found. Then a bit later, that day, Mary Magdalene has spoken with the risen Christ, and she has told the disciples about it. And you would think that they would be off in the streets celebrating, announcing to everyone who would listen that Jesus is alive again. But no, these disciples, they are in a high doubt. But let me pose these few questions to you, my friends. Have you ever been in a situation of despair, a situation of distress, a situation of distrust and discouraged, a situation where you lose hope and you want to give up, a situation where you lose your heart, and a situation where you lose faith, where you feel like you want to resign yourself from everything that surrounds you? And this was the situation with the disciples at this, at a time like this. After the death of Jesus Christ, they are walled up in a room with the locked doors. But on one hand, protecting themselves makes a perfect sense. You cannot blame them, right? They are traumatized by the death of their leader on the cross. They know that as he was apprehended and executed, so they may be as well. And thus they wait behind locked doors as quiet as they can be, fearing every footstep in the street below. And a number of them will die sooner or later for their connection with Jesus. They were guilty by association. The religious leaders would probably still accuse the disciples for stealing the body of Christ anyway. So they were thinking and wondering about their future. They had no assurance about their future. And I want to assume among these disciples, they were asking, why did we get involved with this man in the first place? They could not face the outside. They knew that this case was not going to spare them. The authorities were definitely going to kill them. They knew that these events were the top stories of the day, and they could not stand the pressure of what people were saying about them. So the fear dominates them. And who can blame them? They had just witnessed the one they confessed to be the Messiah, betrayed by one of his own, tried and convicted by the religious and civil authorities. And they brutally executed him. They were afraid, assuming that they were the next to face the consequences. But when Jesus comes on the scene, their fear falls away and replaced with joy. Yes, perhaps we have got the doubts and questions and fears. But when God arrives, all those fall away, replaced by joy and wonder. And of course, unshakable faith. He comes back, not concerned for himself, but for them. He senses their profound fear. So he speaks his peace to them. So we see suddenly Jesus stood in their midst, transcending the barriers the disciples placed around them and bringing them the good news of Easter. So we see here Jesus Christ seeks out despite any barriers we might erect out of fear. When we barricade ourselves in rooms surrounded by the stakes of our denials, defenses, and doubts, Jesus breaks through and fills our hearts with power of the resurrection. He brings us a word of freedom, giving us freedom and courage to face the world anew. Yes, they are locked up, but locked up doesn't matter. Jesus is the door. Jesus can go with us where nobody can go with us. He was not a ghost. He is physical, but not like us. He reaches to us anytime, anywhere. There is no place which Jesus cannot go with us. No place Jesus cannot penetrate. Jesus stands out in that we fear. Sometimes when I am afraid, that's when I see and experience the power of Christ. My friends, this morning, there are no walls thick enough to block the entry of the risen Christ. Into the inner sanctum, the safe room the disciples had created at the center of their fears. But this reminds me of the great theologian Paul Tillich, who sacrificed his life and went to war, leaving his family. And on his return home, when he thought he is now free and could settle with his family, only to be greeted by his wife, who was pregnant by one of his best friends. And in his words, he said, "I felt as if the ground under me was removed. I needed a stronger rock to stand on. And the only rock I found is Jesus." What a powerful message. I am fairly certain, my friends, this morning, we have been all been sitting in that spot one day, in that room at some point in your life. We have left ourselves, we have let ourselves down. We have failed our friends. We have failed our friends and families. We have let down our relatives. But I'm certain that we have once experienced it, where you feel helpless, where you feel the world has turned against you, where you feel like the ground you are standing on is sinking you down. But I've got the good news. Here's the good news. For all of us today, we have a friend in Jesus, a friend who is not like anyone of us, because we don't keep our promises, but a friend who is there to bear our burdens, a friend who does not count on our betrayal, a friend who appears in our locked doors, the same he did to the disciples. He understands our struggles. He understands our fears. And he understands and he is facing those struggles with us. He shows up when things seem hopeless. He shows up because he cares, because he loves us. This is Jesus. He appeared to the disciples and pronounced peace to them in that room. Here's the thing. He did not take them away from the room, but he pronounced peace in that room. And when he pronounced peace in that same room where the disciples experienced both ends of pressure, there was joy. In the midst of fear and dread, in the midst of hopelessness, of death of their leader, these words suddenly drive away the fear that had previously permeated the atmosphere. What humanity tried to do to Jesus, to kill his message of salvation, his love, his selflessness, was ineffectual. Pain could not hold the power of God. Death could not hold the power of God. Death has been conquered. Jesus is alive. The disciples begin to rejoice. Yes, their fear has been dispelled. Jesus did not say, "I am assuring you that there is no persecution outside or no challenges at all." But Jesus is saying in that closed door, "Peace be with you." In this moment, even in the moment of chaos, as what Pastor Kathleen has highlighted, Jesus shows up and says, "Peace be with you." Then, what is peace if it doesn't take away the challenges at stake? What is peace if I don't have money to pay my bills? What is peace if my kids are not making good grades? What is peace? Hey Lord, what is peace? What is peace when we are threatened by nuclear weapons? What is peace when Hurricane Harvey and Hurricane Irma swept away our brothers and sisters' homes and property? What is peace when we have lost our jobs? What is peace when our relatives and friends have lost lives? What is peace? And this reminds me of another story of a king. And I want to tell you this short story. There was a king who, after a devastating war that had took away lives of many people, he asked for an artist to do the painting that symbolizes peace. Many artists came for this competition. And they entered this competition, but finally two of the artists emerges. But they were supposed to be selected only one. And I want to give these scenarios of the two paintings that won this competition. The first one, he had a calm ocean with the calm mountains where trees and grass were so calm. The skies were so blue and there were so few clouds, which were calm as well. And everything in the first picture was even and calm. And there was a second artist. And the second artist had exactly the same scenery, but opposite. It was windy. And everything seemed to be at war. It was a typhoon. But there was a small island in the ocean with reeds and a small bird in its nest, very calm and at peace between the rocks. And that painting was the winner of this competition. My friends, peace is being calm and confident in Christ in the midst of hurricanes, in the midst of typhoons, in the midst of COVID-19, ravaging our world. It doesn't come by positive thinking. We cannot buy it from Walmart or BJ's or whatever supermarket. It's not like a drug that is prescribed. This peace is a gift from God through Jesus Christ. It is this peace that Paul talks in Philippians 4:7. The peace of Christ, which surpasses all understanding, that when having it, you will see, it is well in my soul. Amidst of all challenges, when having it, you can unlock the doors and face the world and face your enemies. This peace gives you the strength and courage to move on even after failure. It is the message of victory. It is the message of atonement, declaring the peace that which flows from pardon to sin and reconciliation with God to the disciples themselves, and through them as the apostles of peace to all mankind. And then we see Jesus. He came after pronouncing the peace. Jesus then breathed the Holy Spirit to them. He breathed to them. Receive the Holy Spirit. I don't want to dwell on other issues that we know some many other preachers on. That's not my focus this morning. But I know you have had so many people who would want to demonstrate, and they say, and they try to do that. That's something I don't want to get into the debate. But Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit to them. Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained. But when Jesus says this, the disciples, everyone in the room remembers what they have learned. the creation story. That God breathed into Adam and Eve and gave them life. My friends, through the breath, God revives the dry bones in the valley. He breathed and there was life again. One can ask me and say, hey, gracious, is there any life anymore? I mean, can't you see what is happening? Are you serious? Can't you see what is happening? But I've got the good news this morning. Yes, there is life. Christ breathed a new life. Surely this means some kind of a new creation is happening here. Jesus has given them the Spirit of God, and they have been changed. They have been remade, and they have been sent. Anytime the breath of God or the Spirit of God is given, things changes. Things changes. There is new life. The breath that Jesus breathed on the disciples, Jesus now breathes on us today. The Holy Spirit who creates men and women and makes them anew, Jesus now breathes on us. This breath now comes to us to fill us with new life, to fill us with new energy, to fill us with new ability to go out into the world and be like Jesus for the salvation of those around us. But as I finish, my dear friends, nearly or about 3 months now, we have been in these locked doors. Puzzled, scared, feeble, weak, fearful, and grieving. But chaos, clouded futures, broken dreams, and even death do not have the last word. In the midst of our fear about the future, in the middle of our sinfulness, in the midst of brokenness, the risen Christ comes to us. He breathes new life. He commissions us. He brings us peace. My dear friends, may the peace that surpasses all understanding, may it be given to all of us in Christ Jesus. Amen.